Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Himalayan Institute's headquarters here in Honesdale, Pennsylvania. A really warm welcome to all of you. I'm Greg Capitolo, the Institute's Director of Mission Programs. And it's a real pleasure to be here with you this afternoon. And on behalf of all of our team here, a warm welcome to all of you. We've got a special live stream event for you, a lecture with Pandit Rajamani Tigganayat, Steering Through Chaos. Very timely, pertinent subject matter. Before we turn it over to Panditji, I'd like to give you a couple updates of things going on here at the Institute. First, it was just a year ago that the Institute published Panditji's book, Vishoka Meditation, The Yoga of Inner Radiance. And since then, we've taught over 500 students, and we've guided over 500 students through a companion program, about a 15-hour program, both in an online format and in-person format, on Vishoka meditation. In addition, just this morning, we had the final session of our inaugural, our first Vishoka meditation teacher training program. And we're so pleased to report that to all of you. Over nearly 150 students joined Panditji, Ishan, the other Institute faculty in a three-week intensive learning to become our first stewards and teachers of Vishoka meditation. So stay tuned for offerings in 2021, both for the Vishoka meditation course, the level one companion course that sort of accompanies or is a companion course to Panditji's book, as well as our next offering of Vishoka meditation teacher training, as well as the normal array of programs from our faculty, other our 500-hour certification programs, and other webinars from our core faculty. The second thing I wanted to remind many of you about is Panditji will be teaching this New Year's Eve, December 30th through January 3rd, Sri Yaga, Tantra of Inner Resilience and Joy. Spending New Year's with Panditji in the Institute is usually a wonderful time. If you're contemplating joining us, we're encouraging you to do so online. We're still taking in-person signups, but just as you are, we're watching the current rise in coronavirus cases quite closely. And unfortunately, it's the case that the number of states that we're unable to take registrations for is growing. It's a sad thing. But it is what it is, and as we've learned, and I hope you've been able to experience in the last 9 months, we've really learned how to bring to you our teachings, and Panditji's in particular, online, and we're super pleased with our web team, our AV and our tech team, some investments we've made in the way we capture images and the teachers, as well as how we deliver it online. So please join us. Please consider joining us online. And as things develop with the Institute's ability to host people here in person, we'll stay in touch. We're watching it every day, and we'll be in touch with you. Okay, thanks for that. That's it from me. Steering Through Chaos is the topic, and here's Panditji.
द्वैताद्वैत महामोह सर्वरीक्षपणक्षमः भास्वानिव जयते को गणेशो दूतरीयुतः प्रतिभायाः परोल्लासो निशाकर इवापरः दूतीयुक्तः स जयतु भटुकस्तांडवान्वितः ओम शांतिः शांतिः शांतिः। Welcome, everyone. This is a wonderful time that we are going through. When this topic was being chosen, that is, steering through chaos, there was a great deal of discussion among the faculty. That Pandiji, can you tell me what kind of chaos are you anticipating that you will address? That made me think that how natural it is for human beings to at some level understand that there is no chaos in the world which is permanent. And when people ask me this question, the expectation was that I will address the chaos which was more associated with the presidential election of the United States of America. And that wasn't in my mind at that time. Let me tell you, when COVID-19 pandemic broke, at that time, myself with my whole family was in northeastern states of India, a place called Darjeeling, in the beautiful Himalayas. Pandemic was already there. People like New Delhi and Mumbai were not just alerted, they were right into the pandemic and all the changes brought by pandemic. And yet, people in that part of the world where I was, in Darjeeling, in northeastern India, people had heard about pandemic. And little further, in the state of Sikkim, there was already lockdown. And yet, life, hardly just few miles away from there in the city of Darjeeling, was just completely normal. Whereas at the airport, people were caught between normal and abnormal life. There was chaos at the airport, and the chaos was not because of the COVID-19. Chaos was the temporary discomfort and inconvenience caused by the air flight cancellations. We went to Guwahati thereafter, another town. Hotel was very much concerned about us being healthy or not healthy. And there was very strict regulation at the hotel. And absolutely no restrictions in the city. That made me think, what is so beautiful about human mind, how human mind decides what is chaotic, what is not chaotic, what is important, what is not important. We know the severity of COVID-19. We came here, and of course, mine was the last flight by United Air to fly from New Delhi to New York. And when we came here, the COVID-19 was in its full swing. an amazing thing. In the midst of all that came George Floyd related chaos. People's attention went there. Then one after other, one movement, one strike, one demonstration after other. And what has been so interesting to watch, that despite such an important health crisis, nation's attention went into elections. What kind of mind do we have that we so quickly shift our attention from the main issue and involve ourselves completely into non-essential issues? COVID-related health crisis and everything that follows it, I do not need to remind that, is very, very serious. And yet, how quickly people's life and death, pain and sorrow, became a political statement, political issue. And suddenly, so many people did not really have much care for hard work, tiredness and fatigue of our first responders today, our doctors, nurses, hospitals, and all other forms of providers of care are tired and exhausted. And yet, how more silly a human mind could be that we did not hesitate to associate it with a political issue. That's called human mind. Therefore, my friends, here I stand in front of you as a philosopher, as a teacher, teacher of meditation, spirituality, and head of an organization which is in the service of people of all strata of society. Here at the Institute, we stand for love and service to all, without any discrimination to caste, color, ethnicity, religion, and political affiliation and belongingness. In that capacity, it is quite a serious matter that human beings do not really pay attention to the kind of mind they carry, and yet they seek health, wealth, peace, and happiness. To me, these kinds of chaotic situations are not new to mankind. Definitely, COVID-19 is a serious pandemic. And the history, but however the history tells us, human beings are very resilient. They have capacity to ride over any chaos in the world. I come from very unique culture, Indian culture. I was born and raised in a very different kind of society than here people have in the West. And I was born at a time when the governmental supports were not so easily available. Thank God today, not only here in the United States of America or Western Europe, but in India and anywhere else, there is much, much higher degree of sensitivity to human life. And compared to how little resources were available 50, 70 years ago, now there are much more bigger resources available to handle such chaos. Therefore, COVID-19 can be managed. Medicine will come. Many, many other tools will emerge to handle the situation, but the actual chaos that we create in our mind, for that there is no remedy. Our doctors, our scientists, our pharmaceutical companies, governmental agencies, many, many non-governmental agencies, they will have much greater success in helping us navigate through chaos, provided we have a mind which is somehow trained and tamed to absorb some of that shock, to absorb some of that chaos, and navigate through that chaos properly. Cultivating that mind is very important. If that mind, that kind of mind is not cultivated, then we will be bound. To divert our focus from the main issue to the secondary issues. And if the secondary issues don't exist, we are bound to create them, just as we just did it. There's an amazing chaos happening between India and China, between India and Nepal, here in the United States. We immediately got caught into criticizing, dumping WHO, World Health Organization. That is your problem. I'm going to punish you. You can punish a particular agency only when you are healthy and strong and clear in your own home. That's what we forget. Here, therefore, to a philosopher like me, the question is how to cultivate a mind which is resilient enough to see things in a proper way. That is what I call it, navigating through chaos. I understand, in a live stream like this, people expect a little bit lighter, more of entertaining kind of presentation. I'll try my best to do so, but at the same time, I must be honest with you. That issue here is that there is much deeper chaos which we have been ignoring, and we have formed a habit of ignoring that. What is that issue? That we have a mind that naturally gravitates toward ignoring, solving a long-term issue. We are not so willing to see whether or not there was an unrest. in human minds and hearts before COVID-19 began. We are not so easily willing to contemplate and reflect that there was a deep state of unrest before US elections started. We are not so easily willing to understand that in many other parts of the world, there was already some great deal of unrest before any of these so-called manifest forms of unrest began to take shape in the external world, in our society, in our nations. That is a big problem. According to yoga, it starts with a very unique phenomena. In yogic literature, that phenomena is called Vritti Samskara Chakra. Chakra means wheel. Vritti means these roaming tendencies of our mind, uncontrolled thoughts, sentiments, which impel us to think and act and speak in a particular way, where we find ourselves very helpless. We begin to act, think and speak in a totally uncontrolled manner. And whenever we are reminded about our lack of mastery over our thought, speech and action, we become very agitated. We have very little or no tolerance at all about those who remind us about the fact that there is some deeper cause of unrest in us. That's called vritti, the force that churns up our inner states of our mind and starts producing, manufacturing these tendencies, and these tendencies begin to swirl and we get caught into that storm. That's called vrittis. According to yoga, such vrittis originate from much deeper dimension of our mind. That's called samskaras, subtle impressions. Those subtle impressions are very, very, very powerful afflictions. And the fact is, those subtle impressions are products of our mental tendencies. When we perform an action, that action creates a tiny little impression in our mind. When we repeat that action second time, that impression becomes deeper. Third time, it becomes even more deep. Then there comes a time that impression becomes very well registered in the form of memory. And it has now its own power to remind us that, hey, where is my daily chocolate? If you every day, almost same time, you eat chocolate ice cream, you got used to. And when one day you don't get your chocolate ice cream, you feel bad. That means that memory has turned into a very, very powerful, potent samskara, subtle impression. Because now it is motivating us to repeat the same actions which formed the subtle impression in the mind in the first place. if we are not careful, if we go on repeating same and similar thoughts, if we go on contemplating, talking and thinking about same and similar thoughts, then the grooves of those impressions become very, very, very deep. They become so deep that they start churning things from inside. Then we are compelled to perform our actions, which are compatible to our deep impressions inside us. Now these fresh actions further reinforce those subtle impressions. Those subtle impressions further reinforce us to take similar actions. And now this way, it picks up the momentum. This kind of, from these roaming tendencies of our mind, from agitating tendencies of our mind to the subtle impressions, and from subtle impressions to the, again, this agitating thought processes, this is called chakra, a circle. It is a cycle now. And the cycle keeps gaining momentum, What is here important to understand is that there is anger, there is fear, there is insecurity, there is ego, there is decisive tendencies, there is cruelty, there is a lack of, you know, clarity of mind. And if we do not pay attention to that, how injurious they could be, they will keep gaining their momentum right deep inside. Just as seed sitting in the soil wait for the right season, and as soon as the ground thaws in the northern hemisphere, for example, or as soon as in warmer countries the moisture laden clouds come, these seeds sitting in the deep in the soil, they begin to vibrate. Spandamanaha. They begin to pulsate. Every seed that is sitting in the ground is life. Just as we are life. And just as we wait for the right time for our fulfillment to start our work so that we gain fulfillment in life, similarly, every seed sitting in the ground waits for the right opportunity, waits for right season. If spring comes, everything just blooms. In dry, desolate deserts, there is amazing phenomena. One day it rains, and within a matter of 8 to 10 hours time, suddenly there is greenery, and how fast things grow and how fast things start blooming within a matter of just few days. Whole dry area turns into blossoms. Same is the case here with our own deep-seated anger, hatred, jealousy, greed, possessiveness, divisive tendencies. And I'm listing all these negative tendencies, not because there are no positive tendencies. Positive tendencies are there too. That is love, compassion, kindness, forgiveness, forbearance, tolerance. Those wonderful tendencies are there too. They are also looking for their right season to sprout and blossom. But our carelessness, our inertia is so deep that negative tendencies, the weeds, they grow faster. You may have noticed it. A farmer plants the seeds. Those seeds are still gathering their momentum to sprout. By that time, the weeds are already few inches above the soil, above the ground. And in order to help the positive seeds to grow, we have to make active effort to subdue, to suppress the growth of the weeds. And still, we have to be prepared that despite all our techniques and tools and means we put in place in order to suppress the growth of weeds, still we have to be prepared to weed them. Weeding is very important. It is only when we have put in place a system of weeding, we can expect our crops to grow properly in most desirable manner. The same is true here. There are lots of seeds of weeds sitting in our mind field. And at the earliest opportunity, those seeds of weeds, they begin to grow. And they are plentiful. And please remember, this analogy of farmland is very, very apt analogy. We are growing only soybean, for example, or we are growing, let's say, corn or wheat or whatever. We sow just one or two kinds of seeds. But the number of seeds which we think that we have not sown are far more than the number of seeds we have sown. So how many different kinds of weeds grow in our farmland? In a farm where we grow wheat, it is in that farm, if we really count, there will be a minimum of 50 different kinds of weeds. Even if we blast the chemicals which kill the weeds, you know, there is not a chemical out there that kills all the weeds. We have to apply again and again. And if we really bombard our farmland with all kinds of weed killers, my God, what will be the condition of the farmland itself? Similarly here, we are trying to cultivate a loving, kind, well-focused, positive mind. We are trying to cultivate a mind that gives rooms, that affords rightful and respectful place for our loved ones, our brothers and sisters, our parents, our friends, our relatives. We are trying to cultivate a mind capable of affording room to all those who are similar to us or dissimilar to us, different from us. In order to cultivate that kind of mind, we hardly pay attention to the fact that there are many, many weed kind of samskaras, subtle impressions are there. As a Hindu, we might even not notice how much negative samskaras we have toward those who are not Hindus. My list can go on. Luckily, today in our modern times, we know how polarized human beings have become. What a kind of mind we have cultivated where we make silently and even sometimes quite loudly the statement that either you are with us or you are against us. Sir, being with me or not being with me is totally different from being against me. Okay? And yet, these simple facts are not so well understood. That is where my person like myself, person like this organization, which you are part of, have love and respect for, is all about. It is about sowing a seed of positive and constructive thoughts and ideas, tending that seed. And long before we sow such seeds, there is a need for preparing the soil, preparing the ground. Lots of effort goes into preparing the soil. Otherwise, the weeds will take over, as is the case all over. There is no shortage of good people out there. There is no shortage of books. There is no shortage of inspiring thoughts and ideas. And there is no shortage of good examples. There is no shortage of philosophies. And there is no shortage of meditative and contemplative tools out there. What is in grave shortage is our willingness to proactively practice them. That is an amazing thing. When it comes to provoke ourselves, our friends, and our communities and society negatively and destructively, we become very active. But when it comes to gently awaken and lovingly propose a good idea, then somehow we are not as active and vibrant and radiant as when we have to promote, come on, wake up, let's do something. When we are trying to capture people's attention for dividing ourselves into 2, into 4, into 8, into 16, we become very loud. Very loud. As a philosopher, I watch television. I watch who speaks and how. And especially, my greatest teachers are politically motivated people. I have read lots of books of philosophies. Huge amount of my time goes into contemplating the inner intent and content of the Yoga Sutra, for example, and the Lotus Sutra. And when I watch television, I see, wow, here is a living example of affliction. During one of the general elections, just 4 years ago, I saw a politician helping, promoting campaign of a particular presidential election, candidate, came on the stage, and he shouted, and just literally, at that time, it appeared, and that fellow was not really well built. Definitely, he was not Hercules. Just his whole body, his whole face turned red. He shouted. And I thought, my God, he might have a heart attack. Amazing thing is, that person did not have a heart attack. And in fact, that person continued living very vibrant life as long as the election fever was there. And when election fever went down, that fellow was like drained. Look here. The power of mind and its misuse, its abuse, or the power of mind and its being somewhat used for something which is not so productive. Okay? Whereas there is different way of promoting something without shouting, without really being malicious. A totally different example I'll give you. It was January 26, 2001. It happened at the bank of Ganges in Kumbh Mela, India, Allahabad. His Holiness Dalai Lama and few other saints, just two of them and myself, four of us were sitting on the stage. I introduced His Holiness to the audience. There were 500 people from the West and another 40,000 people from India sitting in a gigantic, you know, tent. I gave my presentation. His Holiness spoke for 10, 15 minutes. And then there was time for question and answer. Someone from the audience, who was one of our guests from the West, sitting there in the audience, asked His Holiness a question. Sir, I understand Buddhism doesn't believe in God. My question to you, sir, is, does God exist? Does not exist, or does not exist? You know, it appeared His Holiness was very calm and tranquil. He just grabbed my hand on one side and the hand of another Swami from the other sitting on his other side. And He lifted our hand in the air and He said, God exists or God does not exist. Leave it to us. Your job is to learn how to live peacefully and happily. The way He said it, the way He made gestures, mudras, it was so effective. So powerful. There was no room for any argument left in it. How can you ever argue and debate about the necessity of peace? There is enormous room and it's unending process of debating about God exists or does not exist. It was very, very revealing to me and to everybody else. That is, finding our central goal and objective is the important, most important thing than beating bushes here and there all over. Here is Vritti Samskara Chakra. We are constantly creating a wave of confusion and chaos again and again, and the way we are doing it and the way carelessly we are doing it, this wheel is gaining momentum, this cycle is going round and round and round, and there comes a time when it's almost unstoppable. Before it reaches to that point where it becomes unstoppable, better we should learn how to bring this rotating this rotation to a halt and hopefully reverse it, because the damage created by our carelessness is very, very, very severe damage, because we are not aware of it, the fact that we have created them. This is what has happened here. Many, many organizations today and many, many entities are just completely speechless. They have no answer what to do with this COVID-19. However, why is that so many people out there, they completely lost their sight of its prevalence, sight of its power? Is it really important to run amok and not only harm yourself, but through your action, you harm others too? Wearing a mask is something very important. It's not a political statement, it is health concern. If all of us simply pay attention to others' concerns, automatically our concern is included in that. Wash your hands, wear a mask. When you are standing in the food, when you are there in your kitchen, when you are in the shopping malls, try your best to be careful, to be mindful, okay? But that's what we have not learned. Me. Also, other thing is, we have not cultivated a mind that loves peaceful and tranquility. We are really tired and exhausted of living in the same house day and night. We have not really learned how to really enjoy having time with our loved ones. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and months and months and months. This lovely wife is standing on my head. I can't believe it. If I get time, if there's nobody around, I can, myself and my wife can lock ourselves in the house and we just enjoy. If we have our necessities met, there is water, there is fire, there is kitchen and there is food. We can just do our work. We can enjoy being with each other. We know how to breathe, how to do pranayama, how to do stretching, how to do recitation and how to do meditation and just become active. In fact, during this COVID-19, time, the amount of work I have completed is phenomenal. It will give you a wonderful shock to see in next few months' time how much work I have done. Yoga Sutra chapter 3 will be there in your hand very soon. In fact, this other book that I just came up, that is Sri Sukta, the Tantra of Inner Prosperity, that was a great gift of COVID-19. Many other things are lined up because I have plenty of time. It's not that I don't have concern. It's not that Himalayan Institute is not going through some financial, kind of problems. But what we have accomplished is a realization that when we stand together, eat together, sit together, walk together, talk together, there is a wonderful power in that being together. We are a community of like-minded people. We find a great joy in being with each other. Okay. If same thing can be extended in our little world of our family and society, life could be just wonderful. We can steer through any chaos, provided we do not have a chaotic mind. We can steer through any chaos, provided we do not have a chaotic speech. We can steer through any chaos, provided we do not have a chaotic way of living and being. This is what yoga is all about. This is what I will advise you. That don't think that the external circumstances which seem to be contributing to the chaos in our world will be gone. And definitely they will be gone, no doubt about it. But don't believe, don't let yourself believe that once those causes are gone, you will not be living in a chaos. As long as the fundamental elements, the samskaras, the subtle impressions of chaos are there. They will seek their manifestation. And when we are already caught in that whirlpool, when we are already caught in that chaos, then our whole energy goes into just managing how to get out of that. Not much energy is left to do something to avoid future chaotic circumstances. Therefore, during the chaos, here is the secret. During the chaos, the amount of energy you need to steer through chaos, use that energy. But try to grab additional energy to invest for future. Because just as this current chaos came, future chaos will come too. At that time, you will need a clear, calm, and tranquil mind. You will need a higher degree of patience. You will need higher degree of fortitude. You will need higher degree of loving, interacting with others in loving way. Here, our whole complaint used to be that I don't have time to spend with my children and with my wife, with my husband, with my loved ones. When the time came, we have plenty of time, then the complaint is that it's too much. I can't manage it, it's too much. What does it mean? That we do not have a very, very peaceful mind. That restless mind is trying to find excuses. I may sound a little bit harsh, but please remember, you are now standing in front of a person who thrives during such chaotic periods, because these chaotic periods give us the opportunity to reflect on the level of our own inner strength. These are the testing periods. These testing periods give us an opportunity to examine how strong, clear, and energetic we are deep inside, how much love and compassion we have for ourselves and for others. In the absence of these, that's when we just go on living wild life, eat, drink, and be merry, which is very wonderful only as long as you are not in trouble. These troubling times are also a great opportunity because they help us assess the healthy or unhealthy conditions of our own internal states. Therefore, here is my summary. Try to live a healthy life. And remember a beautiful passage from the Bible. And the passage is, walk as long as there is light, for no man walks when it's dark. There is chaos there out in the world today. But in the midst of all that, still we have great, great gifts. Try to utilize that gift. Furthermore, soon this chaos will be over, but the need for cultivating a clear, calm, and tranquil mind will not be over. And in fact, this chaos that we are experiencing today is going to leave a long trail of unrest. Preparing for dealing with that unrest and conquering it is more important than just being caught and absorbed into this our current situation. Therefore, the world is going to be a little bit more difficult than it was before. This great tsunami of change is going to bring an amazing world, and we'll be able to conquer and remain master of that world only if we have a clear, calm, and tranquil mind. And for that, there is no option other than meditation. Okay? It is a process which introduces ourselves to ourselves. Meditation is a unique force which introduces, which tells us that here's exactly the relationship between our mind and breath and between our mind and the body. Here is how exactly breath stands between the mind and the body. And here is how the union between mind and the body is established by this breath. Here is exactly how you can look at that intrinsically who you are and what you are and what is your relationship with the external world on one hand, and what is your relationship with much, much, much long-lasting eternal entity inside you. That's called meditation. A meditator, a true meditator, remains unperturbed by the most scariest among all scary conditions and situations. And because through meditation we cultivate a clear, calm, and tranquil mind, through meditation we are able to turn that clear, calm, and tranquil mind inward. And because of meditation, we are able to identify our strengths and weaknesses. And because of meditation, we have ability to summon our own willpower and determination. We have ability to conquer any situation and circumstance in life. Therefore, I invite you to please find 5-10 minutes to meditate. If you do not know how to meditate, then just simply sit down and watch the gentle flow of your inhalation and exhalation. If you do not know how to meditate, I invite you, please go on himalayaninstitute.org. Look at our mission programs. We have hundreds of wonderful guided practices. Even just few of them, those practices will open a unique reality, and you will be very, very thrilled. And if you are already practicing yogi, if you already are on the path of meditation, please accelerate it. You need it, your loved one needs it, and this whole world needs it. When you are healthy and happy and strong and clear inside, automatically you will radiate, effortlessly you will radiate a unique energy of health and healing. Positive energy will radiate from you, and this is how you will be able to serve yourself and you will be able to serve others. What an amazing time that we started Visoka meditation. The book came in such a timely manner. If you have not read this book, please read this book, Visoka Meditation, The Yoga of Inner Radiance. It's amazing. I don't know how I did it. In fact, when I wrote my commentary on the first and the second chapter of the Yoga Sutra, this realization came that what could be more important than presenting these practices in most, you know, convenient manner. That's how this book came about. And as soon as this book was out, here came COVID-19. No. And here came the chaos created by it. And here came the realization that this chaos is going to trail a long chain of changes, long wave of changes behind. And therefore, it is something I'll advise. Please read this book, The Visoka Meditation. And open our website, go to the mission programs, go to our wisdom library. You will find great, great nuggets of help. And those of you who are already familiar with these things, I invite, please do not postpone your happiness. And I assure you that your happiness is within your reach. Don't be afraid of chaos. This chaos is temporary. But don't let your life to become a chronicle, to become a long, long catalog of chaoses. This chaos today, another chaos tomorrow, and do not allow your entire life to be sucked into it. Life is much more precious than that. This is the message. May God bless you all. And please remember, Institute is here. It is here, and it is most importantly, it is here when the society and community needs it. When things are already going well, our service is of different kind. When things are not going well out there, then our service is of different kind. We are an organization. We are a community whose services are equally available and important when things go well and things do not go well. It's totally up to you to figure out which way things are going, you know. And forgive me for laughing, because this is what ultimately the message is. Learn to laugh and giggle, and learn to conquer the inner enemy, however, without fight. When we conquer the enemies within and without, without a fight, then that's called real conquest. And for that, we need a clear, calm, and tranquil mind. And that's what meditation does to us. Therefore, I summarize it with meditation. God bless you all.